Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Good. I just can't believe a whole week's gone by since we were last here.
I know. A lot's happened.
Wow, it sure has. Time is really flying by. 1,000 years is like a day. Oh, no, wait. We're not doing that verse.
Yeah, 1,000 years is like, 1,000 years is like a day.
Our next show is going to be in 1,000 years. Oh, no.
Well, you heard the story that the one man was having a conversation with God, and he said he was asking God about time, and, mm-hmm. you know, God was telling him that, you know, 1,000 years are but a mere second. And the guy thought for a while. He said, can I have $1 million? And God said, sure, wait a second.
That's good. Well, anyway, that's good. Well, we started weeks ago, with a passage from the book of Matthew where Jesus said, don't think I've come to abolish the law. I've come to fulfill it. And rather than summarize the other, I think, 5 shows we've done on this so far, this, I think, is number 6, I would recommend you go to the website, which is giftofgraceministries.org, and you can see the shows archived there, and you can listen to them.
Yes.
But don't listen to them now, because we've got another show going on right now. Unless you can listen to 6 shows at once, if you multitask.
Multitask.
Yeah. You can put one in each ear. Oh, no, that still won't work. But anyway, we ended the last show by Paul. We didn't have him in the studio with us, but we have his words that he wrote still. Although, you know, I can't wait to look him up when I get to heaven.
I know.
I'm going to Starbucks and spending some time. Oh, no, there's no time. So I can just stay there.
You can just stay there. You can talk to him as long as you want.
Yeah. A day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day.
And if somebody gets, you know, like, hey, buddy, are you done talking yet?
Yeah. Are you going to get any more coffee, or are you just going to sit there?
Don't worry about it. You got all of eternity to sit here and talk to him.
But anyway, you know, he writes in the book of Romans that we all stand guilty because of the law. This is kind of where we left off, and that in chapter 3 that By the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. And I think when we ended last week, Steve, you read from Romans chapter 7, where Paul says, oh, you know, a wretched man that I am, mm-hmm. because now he's realized, looking at the law and looking to where he stands, he realized that when he was Saul the Pharisee, he wasn't keeping the law as well as he thought he was. And that he actually stood condemned, but now he realizes he's a wretched man and that Jesus, the Messiah, is going to deliver him from this because he doesn't have righteousness of his own. Mm-hmm. He has the righteousness of Christ, which is from God, because of what Jesus did on the cross.
Yeah.
And you come to the cross. You know, in Galatians, I think we also ended last week's show Paul says, the law is the schoolmaster that leads you to the cross, that drives you to the cross, and the law shows us who we are. So because we know the law, and we should have a working knowledge of the law, we should have a working knowledge of the Torah. You don't have to know it word by word, verse by verse. You don't have to spend your whole life studying it like some of the ultra-Orthodox do. But you should understand that because the law was the measure of righteousness, this is how the Pharisees measured everyone. And this is how God presents the way to be righteous. If you do all these things, you're going to be righteous. And so when you understand that the law comes from God and is his righteousness, and that you can't keep the law and you haven't done a very good job keeping the law, then you really appreciate grace. And then you really appreciate this plan of salvation that unfolds through the scripture And as we said last week, it's all through love. The plan of salvation is all based on love, of course. We really should be overwhelmed by all of this.
Mm-hmm.
Because here we are, I mean, we're a mess, but we can be saved. You know, it's kind of like, you know, you work and you're frustrated by everything, and all of a sudden you inherit everything. You know, somebody says, hey, guess what? You inherit everything.
Mm-hmm.
You say, yeah, but I've been just like doing all this stuff and I've been a mess. Yeah. Well, now you get to inherit everything.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. What an exciting thing. You know, and even like the parable of the workers in the vineyard, you know, you may have only worked an hour. Somebody else may have worked 8 hours.
Right.
But you inherit all the stuff anyway.
You get the same pay.
Yeah, because it's grace and mercy. Now, people who are law people can be upset by that. They don't like that idea.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like the older son who says, hey, wait a minute, that guy, my brother, he doesn't even call him my brother. He says, that son of yours.
That son of yours.
Yeah. I mean, he's a wreck and you're having a party for him. I'm the good one. The party should be for me. The party shouldn't be for him.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the conflict.
And you'll hear parents do that, you know, when there's a disagreement, that son of yours or that daughter of yours, as if the son or daughter is not theirs anymore. But, you know, as Paul's talking about this in Romans 7, where he says, let's see here. You know, he's talking about, I'm doing the things that I don't want to do.
Yeah.
And I'm not doing the things that I want to do.
Yeah.
And there's this war going on between my flesh and my spirit because the carnal nature of man rebels against the holiness of God.
Exactly.
And no one is immune from it.
That's right. No one.
No one.
That's right.
If you think you're immune from it, pull over.
That's right.
Take a deep breath.
Yeah. Guess what? You're not.
You're not immune from it.
Hope you're sitting down.
Everybody has to come to that realization as the basis of looking at their own salvation in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And without it, you're not going to get very far acknowledging that God is holy and you're not.
it's quite as
simple as that.
Yeah.
For, you know, and Paul says, let's see, in 7:22 here. So, or 21. So then I discover the principle that when I want to do right, evil is at hand.
Mm.
You know, remember in Genesis where God tells Abel or Cain?
Cain.
Sin is crouching at your door and you can master it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then I know we've talked about, you know, Sirach the last couple of times. That set before man is, you know, light and darkness,
good and evil,
and to whichever he chooses, it will be given to him.
Mm-hmm.
And see, this is the one thing that if we understand that God still gives us a free will, not to do whatever we want, but we choose to love him from that free will.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's mistaken as, well, God's given me free will to do whatever I want, so I can do whatever I want. God still loves me.
Right.
Yeah. No.
That's the extreme grace
provision. That's the extreme grace provision that is not grace at all.
That's what you call walking on thin ice.
Very thin ice. walking in the middle of the lake in May.
Yeah.
After most of the ice has melted. So there is... You know, Paul is saying, but I see in my members another principle at war with the law of my mind, taking me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members.
Mm-hmm.
Miserable one that I am, who will deliver me from this mortal body? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, I myself, with my mind, serve the law of God, but with my flesh, the law of sin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sums it up.
Yeah. You know, Paul struggles with the same elements of humanity that each and every one of us struggle with.
Mm-hmm.
There's a sin nature that, you know, we attempted with.
Mm-hmm. You're not going to get rid of your sin nature.
That looks enticing. Well, that looks nice. Well, that would be, yeah, that, you know, I can justify that that's really not bad.
Mm-hmm.
And we all face those temptations, mm-hmm. every one of us.
Right.
And some people are spiritually more mature in other areas than other people.
Sure.
You know, some people have a greater ability to resist a certain area of sin than someone else.
Mm-hmm.
But every one of us struggles with something because
right.
no one
mm-hmm.
is beyond sin.
Right.
And if I tell myself I'm not sinning, I haven't committed a sin, and I've never committed a sin, I'm in big trouble.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, you know, this is why I always say, when I'm driving home tonight, the chances of me robbing a store are zero.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody comes to me and says, hey, if you do this business deal, you can make $10,000 extra. And I say, yeah, but it isn't right. Oh, yeah, but don't worry about that. First of all, everybody's doing this. And second of all, nobody cares. Mm-hmm. And third of all, you're not going to get caught. And the chances of me signing that, zero.
Mm-hmm.
Because I would much rather not make the $10,000 than do it illegally.
Right.
You know, you can go through all these things, but the point is not everything is zero.
Mm-hmm.
I have weaknesses. You right. have weaknesses. Everybody who's listening has a weakness somewhere
mm-hmm.
that the enemy can play on.
Right.
You know, if your enemy is greed and power, he plays on that.
Mm-hmm.
If your enemy is lust and sex, he plays on
right.
that. If you're, you know, whatever it is, you know, Satan can't read your mind, but he sees by your action where your weaknesses are, and they play on that.
Mm-hmm.
So Paul just, you know, you can just see him saying, oh, wretched man that I am. I mean, I can't do this.
And think about that. Paul, who would boast of being the yeah. Pharisee of Pharisees, is now saying,
exactly,
wretched man that I am.
That's right. Where 10 years ago, he was the holy guy.
he was in the temple saying, oh, God, thank you for not making me like that sinner over there next to me.
Yes.
Now he's saying,
yes,
I am that sinner.
Yes. I always think sometimes since Saul was in the temple from the time of his bar mitzvah, studying under Gamaliel and the other high power teachers, and he was there from the time he was 12 or 13 years old, I like to think that when Jesus came to the temple, they kind of crossed paths.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Saul wouldn't have known who he was.
Right.
But I always think Jesus would look at him and go, little does he know what's coming. Wait till you check him out in another 3 or 4 years.
Oh, man. Well, you know what? Yeah. I mean, it's said, you know, scripture even tells us that not everything is written. Everything that Jesus said mm-hmm, and did
sure.
is not.
Right.
There's many more signs and wonders
sure.
that were done that weren't
sure.
recorded. And, you know, the day-to-day life of Jesus, for the most part, for the first, mm-hmm. you know, 30 years, except yeah. for the fact that we see him in the temple when he's 12,
yeah.
is not there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, you know, there's other things that are in the Bible that, you know, we get a glimpse or a bit of a piece of it.
Yeah.
You know, I was yeah. listening to a presentation by, I think it was Curtis Martin, about, you know, the new evangelization.
Mm.
And he was talking about how when the first disciples meet Jesus, what's recorded is it was about 4 o'clock.
Yeah, that's right.
You know,
that's cool.
And that's the only thing that is mentioned. And all the stuff that they talked about yeah. is not mentioned.
Yeah.
Like when the guys are on the road to Emmaus,
that's
Jesus
right.
gives them this awesome Bible
that's
study.
Right.
Nothing else is
yeah.
recorded.
You know, it's late afternoon.
It's late afternoon and their hearts are burning. And they wanted him to go on with them.
Yeah.
And none of it's recorded.
It's amazing.
You know, what he said was, but the fact that it was about 4 o'clock is important because that's when they encountered Christ.
Exactly.
And that's when their lives changed.
That's right. You probably all remember when you had that experience.
Yeah. And so, you know, as we're talking about law and grace, you know, I think we've put them at odds at each other.
Mm-hmm.
But really, I don't think they should be at odds of each other, because we cooperate. If we cooperate with God's grace, we're going to keep
mm-hmm.
God's laws and commandments.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to be alienated from God.
Yes.
And we're going to be in that right relationship with him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we look at things, if we look at the law and go, oh, you know, all it does is prevent me from going out and taking things.
Yeah.
Well, you really don't have the right aspect or the right focus of what the law is.
Yes, exactly.
If I think God's laws are just to prevent me from having fun and living my life in a freestyle manner that I want to, that's not it at all.
Mm-hmm.
Because even in our culture today, we don't understand the whole, we don't understand being in a covenant relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've lost that whole understanding of what is this covenant relationship that we're in with God. And it's through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's ratified in his own blood.
Right.
At the price of his own blood, he ransomed my soul.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the foundation of the relationship that I have with him.
And that's why Paul can say, even though I'm wretched, this is going to deliver me from it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, even though the law is a schoolmaster that drives me to the cross, I'm going to be saved. Not by what I've done, but by what he did on the cross. So this is why we were saying last week, we should be overwhelmed by this. Compared to the right, this is why Jesus says, your righteousness that's who exceed that of the Pharisees. And a common person would have said, well, my righteousness can't exceed that of the Pharisees. Those guys are really holy, really righteous. They got all the stuff. They got the big phylacteries, everything. But what he's talking about is, what Paul says, because we don't have the righteousness of our own, but we're covered with his righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
And now all of a sudden, we are in fact more righteous than the Pharisees.
Right.
Because they're doing righteousness by doing the law and the traditions. We're doing righteousness because we're standing at the cross broken.
Right.
And Jesus says, hey, come on. You can come. I did this for you. I paid your penalty. So come on. And this is what he's actually talking about.
Yeah.
Of how you guys are going to be more righteous than the Pharisees. You know, we sitting here, you sitting at home, if you're a follower of Jesus, if you've accepted him as Lord, if you've repented of what you've done, you're more righteous than the Pharisees were.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't agree. They wouldn't have understood that. And if you could meet one of the Pharisees today, you could say to him, what about your father? I mean, let's assume I'm a Gentile, which I am a Gentile, mm-hmm. and let's say I'm talking to a Pharisee. We should have a Pharisee on the radio show.
That would be interesting.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
That would.
You could sit right here with all the stuff on.
Exactly.
Anyway, I could say, what about your father, Abraham? And if I said, Abraham's my spiritual father, he'd get all bent out of shape. But if you said to the Pharisee, what about your physical father, Abraham? Did he have a relationship with God? Yes, of course. Did he love God and do what God wanted him to do? Yes, of course. Was there a law when God and Abraham were interacting? No.
No.
The law came with Moses about 500 years later.
Mm-hmm.
So Abraham didn't have the law. And what does the scripture say about Abraham? Abraham had faith.
And it was
capital F, capital A, capital I, capital T, capital H, and it was counted as righteousness.
Right.
So Abraham didn't have a law. Oh, sure, people could say, well, he never killed anybody, and he never, you know, the stuff people say today.
Mm-hmm.
But the issue is he had faith, and it was counted as righteousness. God doesn't say Abraham was righteous because he was so holy. He was like the most holy guy on earth. So that's why I picked him to be the father of the people.
Right.
He says he had faith, and it was counted as righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
So, ooh. Oh, boy, we got to dance.
Let me go get my banner.
Hey, remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back.
Listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. Oh.
Did you catch your breath?
Yes. Well, there's a little studio to run around in, too.
Yeah.
Do I have to put my banner down, or can I? Yeah, I better put my banner
down. Yeah, you don't want to hit the microphone with this.
If you don't know what we're talking about, well, we don't have time to get into this now.
Next show.
Maybe we should do a whole show about banners and running around. After all, that's one of God's names, you know, God of the banners.
Yes. Yes, so, it is. Yes, he is.
That means God loves banners.
Mm-hmm.
Whoop. Anyway, so, you know, Abraham didn't have law, but many places in the scriptures, it says he had faith and it was counted as righteousness. Mm-hmm. So, Paul, you know, who of course was Saul, the Pharisee, Romans is my favorite book. Galatians might be one of my favorite books, too.
And I didn't know that.
Oh, man. That's awesome.
Wow.
But anyway, Galatians.
I even took your Torah study. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Well, that's because they're not in the Torah.
Oh, what do you mean? They're not?
No.
Oh, jeez.
No, they're not in the Torah. Which Torah are you talking about?
Let's not confuse our listeners.
That's right. Remember, everyone, the Bible does not start at Matthew 1:1. It starts at Galatians 1:1. Anyway.
Galatians 1:1.
I'm sorry. Here I go. Now you got me doing it. Genesis 1:1.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, they both start with a G. So, you know, we talked about how Paul says the law is the schoolmaster that drives us to the cross. You know, in Galatians 3, he says a very interesting thing. Do you have Galatians 3 there?
Galatians 3. Would you like me to read that?
Yeah, why don't you read 10 and 11?
Galatians 3:10-11. Okay. Let's see. Consequently, those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham who had faith. For all who depend on works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed be everyone who does not persevere in doing all the things written in the book of the law. And that no one is justified before God by the law is clear, for the one who is righteous by faith will live.
Whoa. So Saul the Pharisee, now Paul the Apostle, who is the Apostle of Grace, the Apostle to the Gentiles. I mean, I love those titles. Mm-hmm. And as a Gentile, I'm really happy he was Apostle to the Gentiles.
Yeah.
Woo. I'm really glad to be grafted in. When I talk to my Jewish friends who are traditional or non-observant, who don't believe in Jesus as Messiah, don't know Yeshua as their Messiah, and I say, hey, I'm just happy to be grafted in, they look at me like, what a nut job. But when you talk to Jewish believers and say, hey, I'm happy to be grafted in, they just smile. I'm happy to be grafted in.
They understand.
Yeah, and so here's Paul. He says, cursed is everyone who does not continue in how many things? All things. How many? You know, some things? Nope. All things.
All 613.
All things. Cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the books of the law to do them. So in every aspect, remember Jesus said, every little part, every jot and tittle, every little mark is important. It's all important.
Mm-hmm.
So Paul says, anyone who doesn't continue in all the things, in other words, every letter, every jot and tittle, every little mark, every little phrase, every little word, if you don't continue in all those things to do them, you're condemned. You're cursed. Cursed, he says. Well, that's a pretty tall order. So what he's saying is, if you're going to be justified by the law, if you're going to be justified by your works, if you're going to avoid the curse, you have to keep all, capital A, capital L, capital L, the things of this book.
Mm-hmm.
So people who would have been reading his letter or listening to him preach would have said, ooh. And the Gentiles who were listening to him would have said, oh, man, do we have to go back and do all that stuff? He says, no, because if you read down, why don't you keep reading there like 12 and 13 or 2.
But the law does not depend on faith. Rather, the one who does these things will live by them.
Mm-hmm.
Christ ransomed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed be everyone who hangs on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might be extended to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith.
Whew. Now, see, I'm really a happy Gentile now. Because, I mean, I was before the show, too. But now I'm really a happy Gentile.
Reinforces your happiness.
Yeah. And here we are. You know, if you don't do it all, you're cursed.
Mm-hmm.
But now, what's happened? Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah, has become the curse. In other words, he's become the embodiment of the curse that I deserve, and died on a tree.
Right.
And then he even adds from the book of Deuteronomy, which is one of my favorite books, the fifth book of Moses. I love Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy, it says, cursed is anyone who hangs on a tree.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus hung on a tree.
Yeah.
The Jews thought hanging people on trees was disgusting. They didn't hang people. They just stoned them. which is, of course, much worse.
Yeah.
But, you know, because the scripture said, and this was not an accident, the word that's written in Deuteronomy, which is God's word, which is written by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the inspiration. In fact, we use the word inspiration when you draw in air, expiration when you let the air out, because air and spirit and wind are all the same word in Hebrew. And they're all the same word in Greek, which is pretty neat. I mean, that wasn't by accident either, since those are the two languages of the scriptures. Because the Holy Spirit wrote in Deuteronomy, cursed is anyone who hangs on a tree. Jesus hung on a tree.
Yeah.
Cursed. Was he cursed because of what he did? No. He was cursed because of what we did. When you see the passion of the Christ, and we talk about this many times, I was under, I always thought it was amazing that the scene where the first nail's driven into him, Mel Gibson's the one that hits the nail, who made the show.
Yeah.
Now, you know, his life's been a mess. His life's been a mess. And he's still, his life is still a mess. Yeah. He's gotten in trouble left and right. But he wanted to make the point that it was his sin that drove the nails in. It was my sin that drove the nails in.
Yeah.
It was your sin that drove the nails in. Sure, we can blame the high priest, and we can blame the Romans, and we can blame the people who were there that day. But it was all of us that caused this, because he did it for all of us. These other people were the agents through which this was going to be done. So he hung on a tree on the cross as a curse so that we don't have the curse. You know, this comes even in the book of Numbers 21, chapter 21, the story of the bronze serpent, which we could do a show on that too. I think we've mentioned that in the past. You know, the serpent's on the pole.
Right.
He's the picture of sin. Jesus is on the pole. He is sin. He who did not know sin became sin.
Right.
2 Corinthians 5:21. So Paul says, so because of this, number one, we don't have the curse, and the Gentiles become heirs to the promises made to Abraham.
Yeah.
So here we are in the kingdom because of this. So I am one happy Gentile.
Amen.
Woo.
Well, you know, as you're reading, I'm looking at Romans 3 here and in verse 21. But now the righteousness of God has been manifest apart from the law, though testified to by the law and the prophets, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction. All have sinned and all are deprived of the glory of God. They are justified freely by his grace through the redemption of Christ in Christ Jesus. Whom God set forth as an expiation through faith by his blood to prove his righteousness because of the forgiveness of sins previously committed. Through the forbearance of God to prove his righteousness in the present time, that he might be righteous and justify the one who has faith in Jesus. You know, so there's a lot. I mean, there's a lot there, but all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. Nobody.
It doesn't say some.
And there's no distinction. There's no distinction. You know, we like to make class distinctions in our cultures between people, between ethnicities.
Yes.
And I've gotten into conversations with, you know, with people in over the years. And they say, well, isn't your heritage important to you? It is, but it means nothing without Christ.
Amen. That's right.
Okay. Okay. I mean, Slovak, German, Polish, does that mean something to me? Yeah. But it means nothing if I don't have Jesus Christ.
That's
right. No matter what your nationality.
That's right. There's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free.
Whether you're Greek, whether you're Jew, whether you're, you know, Italian, whether you're English.
Whether you're bald or whether you have hair.
Yeah. Whether you're fat or skinny.
Yeah.
Or, you know.
But if you're fat and bald.
Oh. It still doesn't mean anything. Okay. And it doesn't mean anything if you're skinny and have hair. It's not going to get you to heaven. So, if my life is not transformed if I don't know when my 4 o'clock is.
Mm.
When did I encounter Christ?
That's awesome.
Then nothing's changed.
Yeah.
And I go about my life the same that I have yesterday and the same that I might do tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
But if I've encountered the risen Lord, if I've encountered Jesus who rose from the dead, who bore my sins mm-hmm. and paid my debt,
mm-hmm.
if I've encountered him, then my life should be radically transformed
yes.
that I can serve him out of love for what he's done for me
mm.
and love my neighbor in return
mm.
and not get all hung up on the things that don't bring me salvation.
Mm. Yeah.
You know?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
You don't want to totally let go, you know, you don't want to let go of your heritage and stuff like that.
No, of course. You still have your family. You still have to work. You still
right.
have to
you
do
still
those
have
things.
All those things.
Yeah.
But it doesn't earn you salvation.
That's right.
It doesn't earn you salvation.
Plus, when you encounter Christ, you know, and I tell this to people all day long, and some of them look at me like I'm a total whack job.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them look at me like, oh man, poor guy. He must really be under a lot of stress. but you know, what I say to people, when you encounter Christ and you know him and you understand what happened at the cross, everything else just fades away because nothing else can save you.
Right.
Nothing else, you know, and as you're saying, if you're driving a Rolls Royce and you don't know Christ, that's going to mean nothing. If you're riding around on a mule and you don't have 5 cents in your pocket, but you know Christ, you're in much better shape than the guy who's driving the Rolls Royce.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what matters.
Yeah.
And this is the point that Paul's making in all those passages that we've just read.
Yeah.
Because we don't have the righteousness of our own.
Right.
We don't have the way of saying, well, if I work hard enough, I'll get there.
Right. In verse 27 of chapter 3 of the book of Romans, he says, what occasion is there then for boasting?
Mm.
It is ruled out.
Yes.
On what principle? That of works? No, rather on the principle of faith. For we consider that a person is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Does God belong to the Jews alone?
Mm.
Does he not belong to the Gentiles too?
Yes.
Yes, also to Gentiles. For God is one and will justify the circumcised on the basis of faith and the uncircumcised through faith.
Wow, that's awesome. Yes.
Are we then annulling the law by this faith? Of course not. On the contrary, we are supporting the law.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is why Romans is my favorite book.
I didn't know that.
That just summarizes it.
I didn't know that Romans was your favorite
book. That just summarizes it. I mean, here he is. You know, the Jews are trying to attain righteousness because they have the law, and that's great.
Mm-hmm.
They're the people of the covenant. That's awesome. And then here come these unclean Gentiles who say, yes, I believe Jesus is my Savior. I believe that's the only way I can be saved. And I'm turning my life over to him, and I repent of what I've done, and now I'm going to follow him. And they go into the kingdom. And the guy who's doing the law doesn't. This is why Jesus said, there's tax collectors and prostitutes going into the kingdom before you guys. And Romans just wraps that all up. And that's why it's my favorite book.
And this is what, you know, if you look at this, where God's allowing everyone into the kingdom, the clean and the unclean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But all are unrighteous.
Yep.
Abraham's faith was credited to him as righteousness.
Yes.
But how can the Gentile receive salvation when they didn't seek God?
Mm-hmm.
But yet they found him?
That's right.
They didn't know God, but now they know him?
Yes. Yeah.
We've been here all these years, centuries as a people chosen by God. Who invited them?
Yeah, that's right.
What do you mean they're invited into
yeah,
the kingdom?
Right.
What are you talking about?
Why is the Spirit falling on those guys?
Yeah. And because of God's mercy and because of God's grace, he bestows to those who are adopted the same as the natural born son
yes,
or daughter.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh. Can we do a whole show on this song?
We'll have to do it next week.
This is from the Song of Songs, Chapter 2. Anyway, remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. Actually, if you go to the website, I have a whole audio teaching there on the Song of Songs, Chapter 2, which includes this song. We'll be right back.
Listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to the Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. Boy, we don't have much time left.
No.
We probably should ramp this up, so, unless we're going to do another show. I don't know. We'll see. But anyway, that's an awesome song. Seriously, though, if you do go to the website, you can hear an audio teaching on that, which is just amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a really powerful book. But anyway, so Paul, you know, we just read a whole bunch of things from him. And what I want to get to is, you know, Steve talked about how, you know, boasting is excluded. You know, that's, you know, in heaven, nobody's telling other people why they're there. Nobody's walking around in heaven going, hey, let me tell you why I'm here. Oh, wait a minute. You know, I lived in I was born in 1320 and I was the most awesome person. And so when I died in 1380, man, I was right here. You know, right. You don't hear any of that. Mm-mm. There is no boasting. But, you know, if you were saved by the law, then you could boast.
Yes, you could.
I mean, you would have room to boast. So because we have this promise of salvation through grace, this is the good news, as I like to say. This is the good news of Christianity.
Right.
Because if Christianity says, if your brand of Christianity says, well, here's all the rules, you better get at it, then that isn't good news. Mm-mm. The good news is the grace. So in Galatians, which is actually one of my favorite books, Galatians chapter 3, and starting at 21, it says, is the law then against the promises of God? Certainly not. For if there had been a law given which would have given life, truly righteousness would have been by the law. But the scripture has confined all, not some, not a few people, all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for faith that would afterward be revealed. Therefore, the law is our schoolmaster that drives us to Christ. Therefore, we're justified by faith. And after faith has come, we're no longer under a schoolmaster. Whew. So one, the law drives you to the cross, so now you understand grace. But when you understand grace and you understand this amazing sacrifice that was done for you, you don't say, well, now I better go back to the law because after all, you know, I'm supposed to do that. Mm-hmm. Sure, the moral law, you should follow. You should try to, like you said earlier and last week, you amend your life to try to lead a good life, but you're going to fail. But your salvation is going to come through faith,
right?
By grace, through faith. And Romans and Galatians do this terrific, you know, it's a terrific exposition and explanation of this, as only Paul can do. And then, you know, he says back in Romans chapter 3, you know, he says that he, capital H, is just and he's the justifier.
Mm-hmm.
So the creator becomes the sin bearer. The one who we're guilty under, who's the judge, becomes the redeemer. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I always stick by my statement. If you don't think about the cross 20 times a day, you don't get it.
Yeah. And it brings us back to the Gospel of Matthew, that we, Matthew 3, and this is in between, let's see, it's probably around verse 5 or 6. And do not presume to say to yourselves, this is John the Baptist speaking, we have Abraham as our father, for I tell you, God can raise up children to Abraham from these stones.
Yeah.
Even now the axe lies at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I am baptizing you with water for repentance, but the one who is coming after me is mightier than I. I am not worthy to carry his sandals, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. You know, he says to them, let your repentance be shown by your life bearing good fruit. Produce mm-hmm. good fruit as evidence
right.
of your repentance.
Yes. Yes.
And I read right before that, or right after that. So, if we're coming to faith in Jesus Christ, We don't abolish the law because Christ didn't abolish the law.
Right.
But our life should produce good fruit as evidence of our repentance, as evidence of our life as a Christian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If I never spoke a word of the gospel to anybody,
yeah,
and people had to judge me just on my actions,
mm-hmm,
what would they think? You know, now certainly we're called to share our faith.
Yeah.
We're called to proclaim the good news.
Sure.
You know, 1 Peter 2:9 says, you're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a people set apart.
Mm-hmm.
Once you were nobody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now you're somebody.
That's right.
You know,
yeah.
First you you had nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have everything in Christ.
You were trying to keep the law, but now you have everything through grace.
Yeah.
And you know, it's, you know, in Romans 4, trying to get the last couple of verses I want to talk about with Paul, you know, faith is accounted as righteousness, he says in Romans chapter 4, verse 5. But to him who does not work but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
Faith is counted for righteousness. And, you know, in Romans 10, chapter 4, this Romans is my favorite book. In Romans 10, 4, this kind of summarizes these last six shows that we've done. It says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Because now we don't have that yoke on us anymore. We don't have to be slaves to the law. We don't have to be in bondage to the law.
But we live our lives for Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
Wow. This was a good series.
Yes,
anyway, hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we pray that the grace and power of the Holy Spirit would fill your heart and your mind, and that you would be transformed into the image and likeness of Jesus Christ. God bless everyone. Have a great week. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.